opening thing from Roger Moore, Robert Morris. And that wasn't the only thing I've watched, but it was just kind of funny that I'd come across that last night as God had kind of put me on the barbecue pit and just kind of beat me a couple times with some attitudes and stuff. So to this day, and I will do this anytime I absolutely have to, I repent to you for the complacency. I have come complacent with allowing things that should not be allowed. And that has caused a problem here. It's caused a problem with attitudes with people. God has shown me, he's called me not to be a placator, but a peacekeeper. Sometimes a peacekeeper has to prepare for war. I don't like war, I really don't. I know I sound like I do. Yeah, go kick butt, kill, 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 right? I've only ever been in one fight in my entire life. One. That's it. As a participator, I have broken up 10 times that. Because I don't like to see people fight, except boxing. And so I repent to you, because I repented before the Lord and before my wife the other day. There are going to be things that I have to do, things I have to say. I'm not worried about losing anybody. And if I do, well, never had you to begin with. Because to be honest with you, as many times as God's put me over the over his knee, it's always been better for me. I've always grown out of it. I've always come to understand him more. I understand him more as a loving father. Because as I said earlier, if God didn't correct me, it means he doesn't love me. And so I've started watching some things and been reading. And one of the things I've seen this week, some of you may have known, I'm not trying to gossip about it, I need to talk about it. But there is a schism going on right now within the body of Christ. And it's getting big. And it's getting bigger. Because of pride and arrogance amongst two preachers. They've taken it not just to a national level. They've taken it, it's global. It's going around the world and showing how stupid our pride can be. We have two preachers right now. I keep seeing the clips on Facebook. Some of you may know exactly what I'm talking about. But recently there was a men's conference. Anybody know anything about that yet? Wow. Justin would if he's saying. He saw the other day. So recently there was a men's conference. Used to be part of what we called the Promise Keepers back in the 90s. They've changed the name, kind of changed things up a little bit, a little more hip, a little more hop. Except this time they brought in a male stripper. The pastor that was heading it up thought it was okay. Now, he did not do a striptease. By the way, he strips at both male and female bars. They thought it was okay to do this. They've even lied that, oh no, he got saved. He did not. The man is a prophet. I do believe it, and I agree with him in a lot of what he preaches. As a matter of fact, I've just started catching up on some of his stuff. This was one night. The next night, he gets up and says, I'm sorry I'm hoarse, but I've been here since been up since before 1 a.m. praying for you. And he got up and openly called that thing out without talking to his friend. So now you know what we've got going on. It's a contest. And unfortunately, the one is taking it even further. This should not be, ladies and gentlemen. Paul told us in 1 Corinthians, there should not be any schisms in the body of Christ, let alone for an entertainment. I saw the guy's deal. You'd see it at Cirque du Soleil. I would definitely have gone to see it any other place, not knowing who he was, but definitely should not have been in a church setting. They also had monster trucks there. What the guy did, I've seen on America's Got Talent many, many times. And it's phenomenal. It's a show of strength. But I think in the setting that we should be in, we should not be bringing that stuff before us, especially when it's unrepented sin. Having said that, they were both wrong. But neither one of them will repent and say they were wrong. So what we have going on, ladies and gentlemen, is a match that has been lit that is going to explode. It's not going to look good. There are more and more people getting hold of this, and they are running wild with it. But this is the problem when we get comfortable with sin. I'm good. I mean, would you guys like for RuPaul to come up here and preach? No. Why? Because what we believe is in that man's life is a sin. And that's how he makes his living. And he does actually, when he's not RuPaul, identifies as a man. However twisted and perverted the world has become. I just realized the other day, putting a contact in my phone, that it now has a place for pronouns. My phone is woke. No, Apple is. So as I began, I've been thinking about this. I'm like, Lord, this is wrong. Why? Well, it's because we have become complacent. We become tolerant of things. There have been things God has showed me I needed to cut out of my life. I got one brother. He's a friend. He's a preacher. I ain't listened to worldly music since I was 9. Good for you. So does that mean you stick your fingers in your ears when you go into the grocery store? Oh, no. So you lie. Well, I don't listen to it on my own fruit. You know, I don't want to do it myself. Well, that's good. But understand, that is not a bragging point. I did that once. Held it all. I stayed out of it. God showed me, you've got way too much. You're not even paying attention to what you're listening to anymore. And I wasn't. It wasn't until I got out my, how old would he have been? 5? My 5-year-old got out of my truck singing Rock You Like a Hurricane. That's not a good song on any level. And God said, there you have it. So ladies and gentlemen, if you're wondering if your children and your grandchildren are listening, they most absolutely are. So I cut it out of my life. And then it was almost 10 years later and God said, a friend of mine, another preacher, I saw he had a Kenny Rogers CD in his car. Oh, I can't believe you're listening to The Gambler. And I said, Lord, he's listening to it. And he said, well, yeah, he is. Do you think you can control? Yeah. And you know what I've done? I've tried to spend my life now, if I listen to secular music, I listen to what it's saying. I love some of the songs, some of the tunes. They rock out, man. But if you're going to get down with the sickness, you need to understand. He's talking about abusive mother in which he turns around and attacks. And that's actually a word. It starts with an F. You figure that out. Every time the song rocks, I can't deny that. But I know what it does to me every time I've heard the song, even in just passing. There's an anger that boils up. And I'm like, God, why am I so angry? Why do I just want to destroy everything around me? It's because the anger that is in that song is feeding our souls. We don't listen to that. Well, Pastor, you don't listen to Caleb. No, I don't. Because I created my own station on my Pandora channel that of music that I listen to. I listen to people like Messiah Prophet Band singing, Sing to the Lord. Petra asking, grave, where's your victory? Daniel Band telling me to run from the darkness. I listen to bands like that. Caleb won't play it. And I'm not into hip hop, so radio you. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, we have to be careful what we are taking in. What are you taking in on TV? We were just talking about that this morning about the shows. When our kids were trying to fast forward. Or you do this. Kids, cover your eyes. Okay. My eyes are covered, Mom. And if you got in trouble for the blatant, you learned how far you could go. That's what we do. So I ask you, should you be watching it? Oh. But no buts about it. Should you be watching it? Why? Because if it's affecting your kids, it's affecting you. The disciples, they came to Jesus and they were starting to ask who John the Baptist was. And he said, well, it says Elijah must come first. What do you mean? That's John the Baptist, ain't Elijah? He said, he's trying to explain to them that the spirit of Elijah was to turn the hearts of the people back to God. I don't know of one miracle that John the Baptist did. But today we can't have a service unless we have 10 healings, 5 people slain in the spirit, 4 tongues interpreted. We forgot the word. We're about the show now. Oh, there's a revival coming. Look, they're rolling on the floor. They're walking on the chairs. Do you know how many lawsuits come out of those stupid revivals like that? Our church down in North Carolina got sued. $50,000 is what they got settled with. They said, we're not fighting it. We're just going to pay it. Somebody got slain in the spirit. Wasn't nobody to catch them. That's on you. I'm not moved whether somebody got slain in the spirit. You know, I've only had one person actually go out in the spirit. I'm not moved whether you got slain in the spirit. Because I'm not moved by signs and wonders. Jesus said, an evil generation seeks signs and wonders. The Bible says that it should follow. Yeah, it should follow, but it should not be why we believe. The spoken word, the word that is preached to draw people back to God is what we should be believing in. We shouldn't be believing whether I took my jacket off and blew it out on you and you all passed out. Some of that's real. Trust me, I was the doubter. I'm the only one that fell on my face with no chair in front of me to catch me. But God also showed me not to get caught up in the sensationalism of it. Supposedly there's a new revival starting down in Florida again. That's great. I don't want to see a revival that does not bring repentance. If people aren't hitting their knees before the Lord and repenting of their sins, sins of idolatry, sins of covetousness, sins of thinking that just because you've got a few extra bucks that you're blessed. No, you got a good job. You sowed seed. So did Henry Ford, and Hitler used Henry Ford's thoughts on why he was able to wipe out the Jews. That's fact. He repented of that, I believe. But he also tithed. We're living in a generation that won't accept truth. But I don't know that it's truth. Well, you're not going to know if you're not reading your Bible. I'm going to say something here real quick. I hope nobody's got them out. From this day forward, I don't want you using your phone for a Bible. I either bring it up here, or you've got a Bible. Bring it. And I'll tell you why. Because there was one day we had a guest minister in, and the entire time that minister was here, his wife was sitting here on the front row texting about their stupid dog that had diarrhea. The entire service. She disrespected this church. She disrespected her husband. She disrespected me. She disrespected God Almighty. That stupid dog was all she thought about the whole day. By the way, I've never had him back in. By the way, they also say never meet your heroes. So don't. By the way, she got hit with a bout of breast cancer for a while. God healed her. People are like, I don't know why she did. And she's not a great woman. She's awful. Every church I've been at where she was at, they talk about how mean she is. How you don't cross her. Ladies, that should never, ever be spoken of you. You don't have to be a pushover, but there had better be some godly rapport within you. Men, same thing. You ain't got to be a jerk just because you're a man. But you see, people thought she was reading the word. No, you've got a Bible. Start using it. Well, somebody texted me. I got to answer it. Leave it in your car if you have to. That's the best place for it. That phone is for your convenience, not everybody else's. Nice weather we're having, isn't it? Just getting that out of my system. There's a start time. Be here. It's that simple. I don't keep you to 2 or 3 o'clock like I was raised up. Oh, it's only 1:30. We can keep going. Man, when you're 10 years old, the last thing you want to do is sit in that. And we had hard pews back then. The flat back, flat bottom. Not the ones that contour to your body. Even Jesus had compassion on the people. But that's what we think revival and really preaching is. How about we just spend the time preaching the word straight up? Hit them hard, hit them fast, hit them often. There we have it. So as I began to delve into this and studying, looking into, you know, what Jesus had said about Elijah must come first, but it came through John the Baptist. He was drawing the people back to God because they got caught up in their religion. The charismatic movement is caught up in its charismatic movement. We quit letting God be God. We started making things our God. Well, don't you know, brother, we've got the latest, greatest technological stuff. I don't care. The only thing in this building that I care as far as technology about is the air conditioning and heating. That's it. Don't care about the overheads. I do like to be cool or warm, because as it is, I'm getting hot now. And as I began studying and reading, I'm like, okay, Lord, you said that somewhere else. And as I followed it back, I'm like, ha. This whole section of prophecy from the prophet Malachi had nothing to do with straight up tithe and offerings, because we forgot to read before and after. So, if you got your Bible, open it up. Leave your phone down. If not, look up here. Oh, got to turn it on. You have wearied the Lord with your words. Wow, that's not because they're praying. Do you know how bad it has to get for you to weary God? It's worse than your children, because God is infinitely impatient, or patient, not impatient, infinitely patient, right? For us 3 times with our kids coming back and say, Dad, 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 we've lost our stuff. But yet this says, God has said, you have wearied me. In what way have we wearied him? In that you say everyone does who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord. What is this? This is sloppy grace. Oh, it's God's grace. I know they're going out and they're bouncing into a different bed every other weekend. I know they're hitting every party. They're doing every new drug that's out there. But God knows their heart, absolutely. And in Genesis, he said, I know the thoughts of man's hearts, and they're constantly on evil. This world is taking the word and twisting it to their advantage. And we're stupid enough to believe it. If you got sin in your life, cut it out. It's a cancer. And cancer always spreads. What way? And he delights in them. These preachers right now that are in this little contest that they're having are going to pay a price. I will not be surprised if one, if not both of them, do not end up in the morgue. Not because of a car accident, but because God just flat out took them out. I've told you, I've seen videos of people. I told you, I saw the video of the comedian talk about being in Mexico. She didn't need God. She didn't need anybody. And she took one step to the side and fell over dead. The prime minister of Turkey bashing Israel and talking the rest of the world into going against Israel passes out on the platform. 2 weeks later, dies. God's done messing around. Remember the things that happened to Israel a couple weeks ago? They got 300 drones and missiles sent at them. Has anybody paid attention to what happened in that region right within 72 hours? Dubai got its world rocked particularly. Dubai, what's Dubai got to do with anything? Dubai is the heart of that entire region. They had over 3 feet of water on the tarmacs where the planes take off. The whole thing is built on sand. Jesus said, do not build your house on sand. God is starting to bring judgment. He's going to bring judgment to the body of Christ if we do not repent. So the arrogance that we're seeing on TV, people are being held accountable. I know one particular preacher says he's going to live to 120 because God told him. Don't you know I'm watching him like a hawk? He's 86 right now. Do you know what he just said? Jesus ain't coming back until I'm 120. Nice weather we're having. Or where is the God of justice? God is just. Just because you didn't see what you wanted as justice right away, they aren't getting away with anything. And people that thumb their nose at God are going to pay. That's all there is to it. Well, I want to see it in my lifetime. How about you humble yourself right now before you experience that? God says it's better for you to humble yourself than for me to humble you. Amen? I know I'd rather have God humble me or me humble myself, because when God has to humble me, everybody knows my stuff. So, in this point, this is a Jewish prophet. I don't know that he's necessarily speaking to the Jews alone in this one. I'll tell you why, because he's talking about the return of Christ. So we jump over to Malachi 3:1. Behold, I send my messenger. This messenger he's talking about is indeed Elijah. Or in our case right now, the spirit of Elijah is going before. The two witnesses in the book of Revelation are Elijah and Enoch. Well, I was taught it was Moses. Moses is dead. Both of these guys get killed again. Bible says there's only one time for you to die. Moses is dead. Enoch isn't. He was there and then he wasn't. Elijah, the only person that saw him go was Elisha. He's still alive. And guess what Enoch did? Enoch preached repentance before the flood. See, we only know about Noah. Oh, one man, they estimate, I did something once about an estimate, see how possible many people could have been on the earth. And it was 1 billion people. How does one prophet speak to 1 billion people without the aid of internet, without the aid of phones, TVs, radios? He wasn't the only one. Even the prophet Elijah said, oh, but Lord, it's just me. God said, no, it's not. It's not just you. So if you ever get to thinking, I'm the only one, Lord. No, you're not. And he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom you see, will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can hold up? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. That refiner's fire, folks, he's sitting at the pot and he just keeps turning up the heat until there's, and he scrapes off the dross and he throws it away. And the launderer's soap, you know, we're spoiled today. We just throw it in the washing machine, add our Tide. A couple minutes later, it's done, right? Back in the day, they went down to the creek. It took a little bit of lye, a little bit of animal fat. And they went out there and they scrubbed and, you know, so that baby milk, it had to be scrubbed out. Everything had to be scrubbed by hand and it had to be beaten on the rocks. I just as soon let the light of his glory and his grace show me where I'm wrong and say, yes, Lord, I repent. I back off. I'm not that stupid. I can be stupid, but I'm not that stupid. Because when he has to come and he has to do it, he's going to beat you. That's what he's saying. He's going to take, wring you up, twist you around, and then just slam you on the rocks. The rock of his word, it does not move. It does not change. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi, those who serve in the house of God. He's starting with the preachers even now. I'm not going to lie. The last year, I have had several men of God who I've looked up to. Whether I was directly related to them or not, I've looked up to them for certain things. And they died. I'm like, Lord, they weren't that old. I don't know if God took them home just like he did Enoch, but they are taking the dirt nap. I don't know what happened, but it shook me. I'm like, they're men of faith. How did this happen? And God said, that's not important. You do what you're told. So I'm doing what I'm told. And purge them as gold and silver that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord as in the days of old, as in former years. The offering of the people, ladies and gentlemen. The offering of your praise will be accepted. You come into church and you sing, oh, how holy is our God, oh, holy, holy, holy. And then you walk out and the next place you're going is the dirty 30. We've got a problem. You have got a problem. And you need to fix it. Well, I don't know how I can fix it. Yeah, you do. You know what you got to do. Do it. Jerusalem represents the people. That was the big city. All of us will be received by God. When the Levites are purged of their greed, of their pride. Right now, what we got going on between those two preachers is nothing but pride. And they had better get it figured out before it's too late. By the way, I'm not the only one speaking out on that. There's several others. And I will come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness. I'm going to draw near. He's going to come by and he's going to judge. Judgment's not good. Jesus said, if we judge, we won't be judged. That's the words in red. I'm not making that up to make you feel better or to give you an out. I'm telling you, you better be as harsh on yourself as you are on everybody else. I'll be a swift witness against sorcerers. The word actually does indeed mean people who are using witchcraft, spells, soothsayers. But here, I'm going to throw it around and go, okay, so it's obvious. You know, we don't delve into black magic. But he's also talking about these preachers going around telling you, this is what you need to say. You need to have a chant. Jesus said, why do you keep saying the same thing over and over and expecting something to happen? Why? We get caught up in sensationalism. We got caught up in prayer cloths. I remember asking somebody who had lung cancer, I said, can I pray for you? Opens up his jacket, he got a prayer cloth clipped inside his jacket. Don't need it. I'm healed. He died. Against adulterers, this word goes so much further than just what you're thinking, adultery. I didn't know it. Angela sent me a clip a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, I'm going to get into that one more in depth. I'm not going to. But it goes beyond even thinking about sex with another spouse. There's a reason why God said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Because it was more than just thinking about another person and doing it. Because of what the word itself meant. Against perjurers. Well, that's pretty simple, isn't it? People who lie to save their own butts. I had a Lance Corporal, two of them, and at Camp Lejeune that I unfortunately got to be a chaser on their court martials. The one smoked some pot. That's a no-no. No, I didn't smoke pot. And I kept wondering why I kept having to go take a test every Friday. I'm like, it's the same group, and it's been 6 weeks. I want to go run. I want to run 20 miles. I'm tired of going in here and standing so I can pee in a cup. I didn't pay attention until afterwards. It's like, they knew I was clean, but he was there with me. It's kind of ironic that the guy that took him to jail was right there with him. But the problem was, he had a witness. They called forth a witness, his roommate. No, he wasn't there. He didn't do that. Then the prosecution brought up somebody that proved he lied. Guess what happened? I took him to jail too for perjury. He lied. We keep lying to ourselves. I don't have a problem. I've got it under control, right? It's just a thing of breath mints. Store's not going to miss. They're making millions of dollars. How are they going to miss that? It ain't that. It's the point. I remember one time I was 9 years old. And there was a store in Mount Vernon called Murphy Mart. Anybody remember that store? I went over there. I wanted grape bubble yum just came out. You could smell that stuff in the aisle. I wanted it. Mom had said no. But I wanted it. I knew enough then to keep shut. Don't go bragging about what I just did. But I just stole a 25-cent pack of bubble gum. It was all good and dandy. And I thought, oh yeah, I'm out of the trouble right now. I went out in the backyard. And, oh man, it was delicious. I can taste it now. It was so good. Mom called. I'm in the back of the yard playing. Nobody can smell it. I thought, okay, I'm going to keep quiet. Come running in, because I was taught when mom calls your name, you come running. If you hear your middle name, you're done. So I came running. Mom didn't tell me what to do. Mom asked me a question. I had to open my mouth. I answered. The next thing out of her mouth was not the reply to my answer, but what have you got? Because she's the one that told me no. Nothing. Open your mouth. Where did you get that? I took it. Well, let's just say the next moment was not so pleasant as I did the circle dance. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Against those who exploit wage earners. This one should smack a few people in the forehead. People are abusing their employees. They're not your servants. They're a human being who deserve to be treated with the same respect that you expect. I don't care what generation you're from. I don't care who you are. You treat everybody with respect. You want respect? You got to give it. This garbage, well, I'm the boss. Good, I'm unemployed. Because there's people that want me. I don't have to put up with you, jackwagon. I've worked for people like that. You'll do it because I said, that's dangerous. I don't care. I told one guy, I said, I'm not doing that ever again. That is unsafe. I don't work there anymore. And widows and orphans. There was a time in life in this country in which we treated orphans horrible. The world has treated them. The world should be ashamed of that. And widows. Do you know what honor your father and mother really means? Doesn't mean keep saying, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. It means take care of them when they're old. That's what it means. And so help you God if you interfered. That's exactly what it means. Oh, now here's what might kick us all in the seat. Y'all have already read it. Those who turn away the alien. I ain't saying what's happening in this country is right. There is a proper way. There was always a proper way. Abraham tithed to Pharaoh because that was the proper way. He didn't come in and say, you give me 10%. He said, I'm giving you 10%. He went to Melchizedek and says, you ain't giving me 10%. I'm giving you 10%. To show you I'm not here to destroy you. By the way, if it wasn't for aliens, none of us would be here. Just saying. We used to tell a story. Oh, yeah, we're pretty sure we got Cherokee. Everybody's got Cherokee. We got Cherokee in our family. Well, the blood test says otherwise. As a matter of fact, it says we got African. Take that, hillbillies. Because they do not fear me, says the Lord. This is all the stuff that's being preached from our pulpits today, but it's not against it, it's for it. You do what your boss says. God says he's going to hold them accountable. Take what they're given. No. I held on to a job making 10 bucks an hour and was offered a job making 16. The same stinking job. The only reason I didn't take it was because they had one thing I didn't want. I didn't want to be away from my family. And it was going to have me away from my family 5 days out of seven. And it was a point in my life I did not need to be away from them. As I told Angela the other day, I said, you are my anchor. And I said, and I mean that in the best of ways. I said, everybody looks at an anchor as being bad. I said, but they don't realize an anchor is a good thing. It holds you fast. I said, without you, I wouldn't be where I'm at. We do not fear the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, we have got to fear God once again. Quit putting our crap out on the internet. I mean, I'm debating on whether or not to keep this up. I don't want to make a way where it's, you forget the purpose of coming together. It's for the anointing. When we forget that, we have hell to pay the next week. It's exactly what happens. I don't need to go to church. And that was the one person's, people don't know. I heard one pastor's wife said, people don't know that when my husband's out preaching, and it should be there at church, that I go to our cabin. Nobody knows I'm not with him. I've been to enough church services. Evidently, not enough. Because it ain't about you. It's about them. And you are marked as, they call them first ladies. And Angela said, if you ever call her first lady, she might slap you. I will tell you this. She is going to be ordained. Don't care what you think about men or women. Because if anything happens to me, somebody's got to pick it up. And she needs to be ordained by law to do that. So, there you have it. Just got to figure out how it's got to happen. Because I've had people wondering, well, what happens if you die? Not my problem anymore. No, I'm not that big of a jackwagon. But she's always been in charge if I'm not here. And if neither one of us are here, then it's always been Phil. Regardless of who I have preaching. I mean, we'll have to stop there because it's 12:08. By the way, we got to go through chapter 4 too. And this is only 5 verses in. But I want you to know God is moving. God is calling for true repentance. And I'm giving the signal out now. I'm sending the message out now. If you are doing something you know you shouldn't be doing, repent, which means to stop and turn away from it. I'm not giving an altar call today. I want you to take this word. I want you to take this word and I want you to hold that light up to yourself. Does it hit me? I didn't want to think, oh yeah, Lord, I'm complacent. No, I'd become complacent. I tell you I don't want to hurt you, but or that I don't care if I hurt you. But the reality is I do. Sometimes I care too much. Because like I said, I'm not as big of a jerk as I paint myself to be. I'll do anything for anybody, almost. But then there comes a point, you can ask my boys. Good luck with that. You made the mess, you clean it up. Well, I need to go keep bailing my baby out. No, you don't. You know how Angela learned how to swim? Her brothers took her out in the middle of a pond and threw her out of the boat. I don't know if mom and dad knew that, but I think mom did, maybe. But she told me, yeah, that's how I learned how to swim. Obviously, they would have helped her. But they knew that you got to get over the fear. Sometimes somebody's just got to kick your butt into it. Take the step. I'm challenging you. And the first thing you've got to make sure is you're here. This anointing, there's an anointing coming on. I feel it today. It ain't just because it's warm in here and I'm wearing a tweed jacket. Last week, the presence of God was so thick. But you know what happens if all we do is praise, praise, praise? Our lives never change. Because the word doesn't say that praise changes your life. It says the word. I don't know how to do what's right. Start reading. Ask God where you need to start reading. Sometimes Proverbs is a really good book to start in. Do you know there's 31? And it's not just because there's Proverbs 31 woman ministries. Because some months we have 31. What advice do I give to my son, you know, with what all's on the internet and the world? I mean, I went to a prom, what do they call that? Grand March, yes. There was one particular young lady, I thought, oh, dear Jesus, you need a different dress, lady. The slit was in the middle, not on the side. And to walk, I was like, oh, man, if that was my daughter, oh, wait a minute, it would have never been my daughter. But we're okay with this stuff now. We're okay with it. Let's make our girls look like hookers. Our boys look like pimps. We're okay with what the world's doing. We're not called to be the world. Yes, we can look good. But we do not have to be the world. We're called out. Do you know that's what it means? Ecclesia, the called out ones. We're called out from the world. Our praise and worship, they don't hear. I can tell you that right now. You know it. They aren't standing up here in miniskirts. I was in a church where there was one. Why? Well, having been under that spirit of lust, I can tell you right now, there was a spirit of lust. It's easy to identify it when you've been part of it, isn't it? You can usually tell people who smoke when you quit smoking. You can usually tell who's drinking when you quit drinking. Every morning before PT, it was weird. We'd stand out there, guys had been out drinking all night, it smelled like a distillery in the formation. Sweating Jim Beam, Budweiser. How they didn't pass out, I have no idea. So I gave it my own try. It sucked. But we have to be called out, we have to be separate. And that's what I want for you. I don't want you to keep being battled, being beat around. Where's the joy of your salvation? You know what happened to it? It went away because you allowed sin into your life. Something, God said no, and you said yes. Why? Because my flesh wants it. You can stream anything over your TV now. It's a time in life you had to go dirty 30. You ain't got to do that now. And I'm not teaching you anything you don't already know. And I'm not going to sit there and hold your phone and say, no, you can't do it. Because you have a Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. The Word says we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Why would we bring the Holy Spirit? And that's in 1 Corinthians 6. Why would we bring the Holy Spirit into this? If you don't think you would want to be seen by me there, ask, why is the Holy Spirit? Why did I drag the Holy Spirit into it? Sometimes there's things you shouldn't even... I love watching fail videos, people doing stupid things. I love watching them. I've come to a point now, there's some of them, I know the people got seriously hurt. I can feel the pain. It's just like, oh, you know that hurt. Which apparently I'm empathetic, so I'm not a psycho. That's supposedly the diagnosis there. So I want you this week to spend the time with God and ask him, Lord, what do I need to change? I'm not happy. Well, brother, salvation ain't about happiness. It's called joy. And joy is something that is present regardless of what's going on in the world. I'm saddened by what these two preachers are doing. And I truly do pray that they repent. Because you need to understand there are multiple thousands of people they're affecting right now. Because they're both mega churches. It's not right. But the Bible says that pride will lead us to destruction. All right, let's stand. I trust as you trust God more, you're going to see a change in your life. You're going to see the change in your joy, in your attitude. Most of the times I realize when I have a bad attitude, it's because God's been dealing with me on something and I keep ignoring him. And it ain't right. God, why do I feel like this? It's because you're ignoring God. Quit ignoring him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we present to you our lives. Father, you know them. You know them inside and out. I ask, Lord, now that you continue to work in us through your Holy Spirit. Illuminate the areas, Father, that we're ignoring. I mean, highlight them so bright we can't ignore them. Father, and if our stubborn pride gets in the way, break our knees, that we will humble ourselves and repent before we're destroyed. And now, Father, we present to you our lives as living sacrifices that need to be made holy. Now, Father, I thank you for what Jesus did. When he said, "It is finished," all of our sin was already forgiven. Help us to walk in that forgiveness, not in arrogance, but in humility. To know that the King of Kings laid down his life for the scum of the earth. Father, I thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. I ask now, Father, that you move your Holy Spirit through each and every person here today. Not just the ones that got to hear the message in here, but those teaching the children and even the children. Lord, your love will permeate every part of us. Now, Father, I bless your people. I bless them with strength, courage, and integrity. In Jesus' name, amen.